Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A young woman went home to her parents one weekend and brought her fiancé to meet her parents for the first time. After an elaborate dinner, the mother tells her husband in the kitchen as they're cleaning up to go and find out a little bit more about this young man that wants to marry their daughter. So the father invites the fiancé to his library for a little talk. "So, son, what are your plans?" the father asks the young man. "Well, sir, I'm a Bible student." "A Bible student," the father says. "Admirable. But what are you going to do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in as she's been accustomed to?" "I will study," the young man said, "and God will provide for us." "And how are you going to buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves?" asked the father. "Well, I'm going to concentrate on my studies," the young man replied, "and God will provide for us." "And children?" asked the father. "How are you going to support children if the Lord gives them to you?" "Don't worry, sir. God will provide," replied the fiancé. The rest of the conversation continued on and on like this, and each time the father questioned, the young man would insist that God would provide. Later on, a couple hours later, the mother found her husband and said, "How did it go, honey? What did you find out about the young man?" And the father answered, "Well, he has no plans and no job, but the good news is he thinks that I'm God." God will provide. As we conclude our 12-part sermon series, Good to His Word, looking at God's amazing promises for our life, that's actually what we're talking about here today. The last of the 12 promises that we're going to be focusing on is this: God will provide. His promise to you and to me as His children that He will be a good Father to provide for our needs as we call upon Him. This idea of God being actually called a provider comes from Genesis chapter 22, and you know the story where God says something to Abraham that we could never even imagine going through. He says, "Take your son, your only son, the son you love, and go and sacrifice him to me." And so Abraham takes his son Isaac up onto the mountain. He lays him down on the altar. He picks up his knife and is about ready to jab that knife down into his own son, when all of a sudden God provides a ram for him in the bush that is to be sacrificed instead of his son. And it says in Genesis 22, "So Abraham called that place, 'The Lord will provide.'" And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. A while back, we did a sermon series on the names of God. A name for every need is what we called it. And one of those names we looked at was Jehovah Jireh. In the Hebrew, in Genesis chapter 22, when it says the Lord will provide, that is actually the name that God gives to Himself. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide for His people. And then you move on through the Old Testament, and story after story after story, God proves that He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. After His people come out of Egypt into the desert on the way to the promised land, God provides for them daily manna from heaven. This bread of angels, the Bible says, is on the ground each and every day. Now, if you notice in what was read just a little bit ago by Sandy, the people had a hard time believing that God was going to continue to provide each and every day. And so sometimes they would save a little bit and not eat it just in case God didn't provide the next day. But that stuff was all maggot-ridden by the next day. God was saying, I'm going to provide for you each and every day. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. If you break that down, His divine power, God's divine power, gives us everything that we need. That pertains to two things, life and godliness. That's God's promise to you and to me. He hasn't changed. Just like He told Abraham that He would provide, just like He provided manna every day for His people, He says, I'm going to provide for you too when it comes to life and godliness. Now, what would life look like? Well, that would be things like health, family, friends, finances, food, clothing, the daily essentials. The Lord says, I want to be your provider of these things, the daily things that you need in your life. Come to me for those things. He also says He wants to be our provider when it comes to godliness, to our spiritual health. And so He's provided things like His Word. And what a blessing we have in the Word of God. He's provided full and free forgiveness through His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He's given us a church family that we can rejoice with those who rejoice, that we can weep with those who weep, that we can hold each other accountable and love on one another as Christ loves us. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit who brings us to faith, who makes us more like Jesus and uses us to transform this world for Jesus. He's given us the blessings of prayer, the blessings of worship, that we can engage with Him and have this two-way relationship, this two-way conversation with Him. God wants to be your Jehovah Jireh. He wants to give you everything for your life and for your spiritual life as well. Now, if we're going to be honest and we ask ourselves the question, do I always trust that God will provide? I think if we're honest, we're not that much different than those Israelites that kept a little bit extra just in case God isn't going to provide the next day. Why is that? Why is it that sometimes we struggle to trust that God is going to provide? Well, I think one of those reasons that we have a tough time trusting that, getting back to Abraham and that story of sacrificing Isaac, when did God provide? When Abraham had the knife right here, about ready to plunge it into his son. It was truly at the last moment. It was at the 11th hour that God did come through, but He did. And oftentimes, for whatever reason, as we are calling on the Lord to provide whatever it is for our body or for our spiritual health, God will come through, but it will oftentimes be at the 11th hour. And He's asking us to trust in Him, even until the last minute. It takes a little bit of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter of the Bible, it says, Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You can't see that God's going to come through for you at the last minute, at the 11th hour. We have to trust what He's said. Remember, this whole sermon series is entitled, He's Good to His Word. But sometimes we got to wait in faith. But when we do, when we hold on to Him even until the 11th hour for whatever we need in our life, that is pleasing to God. In verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for us to hold on to Him even when we can't see it, even when we start to get a little nervous, those heart palpitations. Is He going to provide? When we hold on to Him even through that, that's faith. And He loves that. And so what we're going to do, since God loves faith here today, we're going to provide lots of scriptures here during this message that will hopefully build up your faith, because that's what God says. Where does faith come from? It comes from hearing the Word of God. And so hopefully after this message here today, you'll walk out of here. If your faith was right here, you'll walk out with faith up to here today. In Psalm 50, it says, for every animal of the forest is mine, God says, and the cattle on a thousand hills. Another way of saying that is this: God is very rich. He's very rich. It's never the case that He doesn't have enough to provide for you. He's extremely rich. All the resources of the universe are at His disposal, and He uses them for us. In Philippians 4, it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. It wouldn't do us any good if God was rich, but we didn't know that He wanted to use it for us. But from passages like this, we understand that God is not only rich, but He's also very generous, especially when it comes to His own dear children, those who have received His Son Jesus Christ and have been baptized. It makes me think of Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not be in want, or I shall not have any wants, because the Lord, who is rich and generous, is going to provide for me. So, God is rich and generous. And so what does that mean? That means this: I don't have to worry. In fact, not only do I not have to worry, God actually commands me not to worry. In Philippians 4, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So anytime you start to feel those heart palpitations, thinking, is God going to provide? Maybe something breaks down at the house, or maybe your car breaks down, or maybe you lose your job, whatever it is, and you start thinking, is it going to be all right? As soon as you start to get nervous, recognize that that's a sign, according to Philippians 4, that you need to put your hands together and pray. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, say, God, I know that You always provide. I thank You that You're good to Your word. I thank You that even now when I can't see it, You're going to be good to Your word. That's what it means to pray with thanksgiving and present your requests before God. In Matthew 6, Jesus says again that we are not to worry. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans are the ones that run after such things. The people that don't know that there's a generous and rich God in heaven, they're the ones that get nervous, not you guys. And your heavenly Father already knows what you need. But this is His prescription. He says, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is saying that you're in a covenant with the Father. And a covenant is this: I will be yours and you will be mine. And so what does it mean that I'm God's? It means that my life belongs to Him. And so what does God want me to do? To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. To say, God, what would you have me to do today? And that's the only thing I need to worry about. Because not only am I His, but He is mine. He is my provider. And so He says, all you have to do is think about what I would have you to do, and everything you need, I will provide for you. I am yours, and you are mine. And then in Matthew 7, He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven lavish good gifts on those who ask Him? I don't think any of us would ever say this, but sometimes by our actions, we're actually saying this. We're saying this: I love my kids more than God loves His kids. What do I mean by that? It's this: if any one of my kids gave me a call and said that they had a need, I would drop everything in my life and I would go to help them. But God isn't like that. He must not love His kids as much as I do. Jesus turns that whole idea on its ear. He says, if you, though there's evil inside of each and every one of us, if you know how to love your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father that has no evil in Him, how much more does He long to give good gifts to His kids? Remember, God isn't just rich. He's very, very generous and loving to those who are His. But sometimes you got to wait a little bit, but He will come through. In Romans chapter 8, it says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? God's saying, let's take a moment just to put this thing into perspective. If I was willing to send my own Son, the Son I love, to a cross for you so that your sins would be forgiven, so that you could spend the rest of eternity with me, is there anything I wouldn't do for you? That's how much God wants us to trust in Him, that He will be our provider. So God is rich and generous. And so He says you don't have to worry. In fact, He commands you, don't worry about provision in your life. God is able and willing to provide as you call upon Him. Secondly, God is rich and generous, so I can afford to also be generous. Here's our very important point of the day. It's this: God not only wants to supply your needs, He wants to supply you with more than you need so that you can be a vehicle of His to bless others. That's God's ultimate for you and for me. Not just that He provides for us, but that He provides extra for us so that we in turn can give that away to others. We see this all through Scripture. In Ephesians 4 is one of those places. It says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but they must work doing something useful with their hands so that they may have something to share with those who are in need. Think about it. When you steal something, you're basically saying this: God, I don't believe that you're going to provide it, so I got to go and get it myself through an unjust means. But God says, I don't want you to steal. I will provide for you. And one of the ways that God sometimes provides for us is by giving us a means of making money, a job. And so he says, go to work, do something with your hands. I will provide through that, not just so that you'll have your needs met, but also that you can have a little extra to give away, so that you can be an instrument of my giving to people that need it. In Malachi chapter 3, God says to his old covenant people, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God had commanded his old covenant people, he said, I want you to take the first fruits of what you have from your fields and bring it in to the temple. Now that took a little bit of faith, didn't it? Because, well, what happens if the first fruits were good, but then maybe we don't get any more rain and the rest of it isn't good enough? Are we going to have enough for the rest of the season for our fam? God says this, you bring in those first fruits, you bring in that tithe, so to speak, and watch what I do. Watch to see how generous I can be. At my first congregation, there was a man named Chuck Keel. And Chuck Keel would always say this. He would put his arm around me and he'd say, Ryan, Ryan, Ryan. Don't you know that you can never outgive God? The more that you give, the more he gives back to you. That's just who he is. He's a very, very generous God. In Psalm 37, it says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous, they give generously. And then he goes on to say, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous. They lend freely, and their children will be a blessing. The psalmist is saying, since I was little all the way up until I'm old, I've noticed this one thing. Those that trust the Lord, they always have enough. Their children are never begging bread. In fact, they have enough. And they trust the Lord so much that they can afford to be generous and lend freely to others. So what does this mean for you and for me who have the exact same God? You can afford to be generous. Be generous to the poor. Be generous. Give generously to noble causes. Give generously to friends and family in need. Give generously to your church. Give generously to missions and missionaries. You can afford to. Why? Because you have an extremely generous God and you can't outgive him. That's the message we see over and over and over again in Scripture. Now it says in 2 Corinthians 9, each of you should give what you've decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Don't let anyone ever compel you to give, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God loves it when we give generously, because we know that as we give generously, he's going to provide for us. He's Jehovah Jireh, and he hasn't changed. And you can't outgive God. So as we conclude this sermon series, Good to His Word, let's go back just very quickly and look at what God has told us through his Word, the promises that he wants us to hang on to. Number one, the first week he said he hears our prayers when we pray. Oh, that's important. Every prayer gets through because of Jesus. Number two, all things, one way or the other, are going to turn around and work for our good. That's his promise from Romans 8, 28. Jesus is coming again really soon. He came 2,000 years ago, as we're about ready to celebrate in about a month. But he's also coming again to make everything new and everything right again. Number four, he promises healing now and in eternity. As we go before him, asking him for healing, God is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And one day he's going to heal us completely when we get to heaven. He promises us his presence with us at all times. And along with that, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never change. He's always the same. So what it says about him in his word, he's exactly that same. And we can approach him knowing that he hasn't changed over these thousands of years. He promises to guide us when we ask. He says in James that he will give us wisdom abundantly when we call upon him. He's preparing a place for us right now in heaven. He promises to protect us as we call upon him as our protector. He promises to give us real, lasting rest here and into eternity. And finally, today, he promises to provide for you and for me and for all of our needs, because he is Jehovah Jireh. May God bless us, that we would take him at his word and that we would align our lives with his word all the days of our life until we see him face to face. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.